Welcome to this week's edition of the Wallingford and District Talking newspaper on the 19th of November 2025. The readers this week are Jane, Jill and Bill. I'm your producer Keith and the copier and distributor is Roger.
Hello, I'm Jane. My first article is the headline on the front page and it reads, "We need 480 homes like hole in the head." Campaign raises fresh objections to sprawl. A group of campaigning against proposals for up to 480 new homes in Wallingford say they are appalled by the continued pursuit of the plans. Members of Love Wallingford Stop the Sprawl have voiced continuing objections to a Crowdace Homes application to build a development on the edge of town west of the Shillingford Road. A revised bid addressing issues raised to the original plans has now raised fresh opposition, and I'll be reading a full version of this report later on in the recording.
Hello, I'm Jill. Council vows to target motorists. A warning has been issued to county drivers as a council threatened to target irresponsible motorists. Oxfordshire County Council has vowed to crack down on inconsiderate drivers, with fines of up to £70 being distributed. Parking zones will be targeted in the coming days and weeks, including in market towns where repeated incidents of rule breaking have been found, the council said. More officers will be seen in areas where new controlled parking zones and restrictions have recently been implemented. They will also be patrolling in response to a perceived increase in dangerous and inconsiderate parking, the County Council said. This includes on double yellow lines, outside schools during drop-off and pick-up times.
Hello, my name is Bill, and this article is entitled "Free Festival Given Prestigious King's Award." Wallingford's free and hugely popular annual festival has been given the King's Award for Voluntary Service 2025. The prestigious award has gone to Bunkfest, the beloved dance and arts festival, which takes over the Kinecroft every summer and which is put on by a committee of dedicated volunteers and run with the help of hundreds more. The King's Award is the highest award a voluntary group can receive in the UK and is the equivalent to an MBE. The directors of Bunkfest said, "We are delighted to receive this award, which we dedicate to the energy, hard work and commitment of the countless number of volunteers who over the years have helped us put on this amazing community festival. This year's festival, which took place at the end of August, was described as an epic success by organisers who pointed out the event can only be achieved by the small army of volunteers, generous sponsors and public donations which keep the show on the road. From its small beginnings in 2002, Bunkfest has grown incrementally each year to become one of the UK's largest free access festivals, showcasing multi-genre music, dance and artistic talent from within Oxfordshire and beyond.
Major job boost as new quantum cluster launches. Ambitions to place Oxfordshire at the centre of the advanced quantum technology revolution have taken a major step forward with the launch of a new hub which could create more than 1,000 jobs. A new Harwell Quantum Cluster has officially launched at the Harwell Science and Innovation Campus to accelerate so-called quantum advanced computer innovation, create more than 1,000 skilled jobs, and attract over £1 billion worth of investments over the next decade. The initiative, led by the Science and Technology Facilities Council, STFC, in partnership with the Harwell Joint Venture, the Department for Science, Innovation and Technology, and the Department for Business and Trade, will build on Harwell's existing quantum activity. Liz Kendall, Science and Technology Secretary, said, from helping doctors discover new medicines faster to batteries that last longer and charge quicker, quantum technology can keep us safer and healthier and change our everyday lives in really practical ways. We have a once-in-a-generation chance to lead the world in quantum technology. This cluster at Harwell shows we're serious about grabbing that opportunity and turning it into real prosperity. Over 1,000 skilled jobs, £1 billion in private investment, and making sure the benefits are felt right across Britain. The cluster aims to grow more than 100 quantum-focused companies. At the launch, a memorandum of understanding was signed with Quantum Exponential Group PLC to help early-stage quantum companies access funding, mentorship, and international markets. The cluster builds on Harwell's established model of collaboration between government, industry, and academia. It will support the development of quantum technologies that could transform healthcare through faster drug discovery, optimize energy grids and battery systems, enhance national security with advanced encryption and sensing, and improve efficiency in finance and logistics. Dr. Barbara Ginelli, Director of Innovation Clusters and Harwell Compass at STFC, said, "What we build here at Harwell is bigger than technology. It's skilled jobs for the next generation and new companies born and scaled in the UK. It is sovereign capability and economic resilience. This is a global innovation in partnership with the Harwell Quantum Cluster on the technologies that will transform the world. Quantum will change every sector it touches, and Harwell is where that change becomes real." The National Quantum Computing Centre, NQCC, part of the UK Research and Innovation, will serve as the cluster's anchor facility. It will enable collaborative research and development, early access to quantum computing platforms, and the promotion of ethical quantum developments. And there's a couple of photographs, one of the Harwell Science and Innovation Campus, and one of a lot of people standing around looking at a quantum cluster, I believe.
126 antisocial behaviour reports. More than 100 reports of antisocial behaviour were investigated by a community safety team last year. The South and Vale Community Safety Partnership, CSP, has released its 2024-25 performance update, showing how joint action between councils, Thames Valley Police, housing associations, health services and local organisations is reducing antisocial behaviour and keeping residents safe. Last year, the CSP's community safety team investigated 126 antisocial behaviour reports across both districts. By working closely with local partners, many issues were resolved before they escalated. When residents reported dangerous motorbike riding in a children's play area, the CSP coordinated police patrols, signage and secured access points, whilst youth workers directly engaged with riders, bringing incidents to a halt. A long-running neighbour dispute was also diffused through mediation and police support. Councillor Georgina Heritage, Cabinet Member for Communities at South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "This report shows the real power of partnership working. Together we are tackling antisocial behaviour, protecting vulnerable residents and making South and Vale safer places to live. Funding enabled youth organisations such as Didcot Train and the Abingdon Bridge to deliver targeted outreach, safe spaces and workshops."
This article is entitled "Health Services Unite to Prepare for Winter." Health services across Oxfordshire have united to prepare for a demanding winter and to ensure people receive the right care in the right place at the right time. Team Oxfordshire is being formed in a collaboration between health and social care services, including the county's hospitals, GP practices, adult social care, mental health services, ambulance services, community health services, as well as the voluntary and community sector. The United Front aims to tackle the additional challenges winter brings each year, including a rise in respiratory illnesses, flu and COVID-19, and worsening health conditions caused by colder weather. Felicity Taylor-Drew, Chief Operating Officer at Oxford University Hospital's NHS Foundations Trust, said, "We know that winter is always a demanding time for our services. The reality is that these pressures are now being felt all year round. This is why it is so important that we continue to build on the strong partnership working that happens across Oxfordshire every day. The Trust's Home First approach encourages people to stay well in their own homes to prevent unnecessary hospital admissions and help admitted patients return home safely and promptly when appropriate."
Hosepipe banned to remain despite recent rainfall. Thames Water has confirmed that a hosepipe ban, which was introduced in the summer, will remain in place despite the winter approaching. The decision, publicly confirmed on Saturday, will impact areas in Oxfordshire, Buckinghamshire and Berkshire, specifically those in the OX, GL, SN, RG4, RG8 and RG9 postcodes. This is due to the summer of 2025 being the hottest on record in the UK, with an average temperature of 16.1 degrees centigrade being set. Neville Muncaster, Strategic Water Resources Director at Thames Water, said this summer has been the hottest on record. And in our region alone, we've had less than half the rainfall we would expect over the last few months, meaning rivers and groundwater levels in the west of our region are still under significant pressure. We've welcomed the rain over the past few weeks, which has helped the rivers we use to top up our reservoirs. However, most of this rainfall has been soaked up by the excessively dry ground and hasn't had a notable impact on groundwater levels, which feed the River Thames. We continue to do everything we can to keep all of our customers supplied with top quality drinking water. This includes fixing leaks, using smart technology to manage water pressures, and closely monitoring demand across our network. No date has yet been set for when the ban will be lifted.
Thousands to be invited to take part in research. Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust is launching a new scheme aimed at boosting participation in healthcare research. The Count Me In initiative will allow research teams to directly approach patients if a relevant study arises, rather than relying solely on clinicians to find participants. The scheme, designed to make research more inclusive and efficient, will offer patients the choice to get involved, ask questions or opt out at any time. It is hoped that this will lead to faster recruitment for studies and more opportunities for patients to engage with research. A spokesperson for the Trust said, "Research is vital to improving patient care and treatments. At Oxford Health, it helps us understand conditions like depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, and dementia, and develop better treatments. But research can't happen without people. That's where Count Me In comes in. Oxford Health has assured that personal information will remain protected and involvement will always be optional. The initiative will apply to anyone who has used the Trust's services in the last 5 years, unless they have opted out. A pilot project of Count Me In 2021 showed significant improvements in research inclusivity and recruitment.
This article is entitled Couple Dresses Up for Steam Day at Railway Centre. A couple dressed in costumes from the 1950s has visited the Didcot Railway Centre. Matt and Danielle from Reading called in at the Heritage Railway Centre for a steam day this month. A volunteer at the centre said, among the visitors enjoying the autumn colours and steam effects were Daniel and Matt from Reading, who arrived appropriately dressed in 50s or 60s style. They even had shades of the correct vintage to cope with the bright sunshine. On steam days throughout the year, visitors can ride on steam trains on at least one of the centre's two demonstration lines. The next steam day is scheduled for Tuesday, December the 2nd. The Heritage Centre attracts thousands of visitors every year. While a large part of the site is taken up with an engine shed, rail tracks, a cafe, shop and museum, there are some green spaces. During the summer, the nature group Wild Oxfordshire visited to carry out a botanical survey. The rail centre at Didcot Railway Centre has a unique collection of Great Western Railway steam locomotives, carriages and wagons on a 21-acre museum site based around the 1932 engine shed. The centre hosted the Flying Scotsman alongside steam legend Pendennis Castle in May and June, and there's a picture of Daniel and Matt standing on the platform at the Didcot Railway Centre.
And now the continuation of the headline from the front page, 400 homes needed like a hole in the head. An opposition group campaigning against a planning application for up to 480 homes in Wallingford said they are appalled by the continuation of the plans. Members of Love Wallingford Stop the Sprawl have voiced their continuing objections to Crowdace Homes' proposals for a huge development on the edge of town on land west of Shillingford Road. A revised application submitted to South Oxfordshire District Council, addressing issues raised by the council offices following the first application submitted in November last year, has raised fresh opposition. Key member of the campaign group, Dean Valler, said this development would bulldoze over yet more of our green fields. It is vital that people make their voice heard and object on the website to this horrific proposal. Not to do so would mean Wallingford would be in for years of development. Apathy is a developer's dream, so we ask that concerned residents once again register their objections on the South Oxford District Council planning portal before it's too late. A public consultation on the application and amendments is open until Wednesday, December the 3rd, but South Oxfordshire District Council has confirmed all original comments will still be taken into account. The campaign group was formed a year ago now, and Mr. Valler described the continuing strain of keeping the pressure up to make sure their views are heard, which can be stressful. Love Wallingford claims the new houses are not needed as Wallingford has already exceeded its housing supply commitment and unsold houses remain in completed developments. The application specifies 80 homes of the 480 total would be age restricted for retirees and 40% of the houses would be affordable. Plans include a skate park and teenage play area, and financial contributions would be made by the developer to primary, secondary and special education in the district. Objector Julia Spence, who lives in Castle Street, said, the town roads are in disrepair, the town centre chock-a-block, the schools, doctors and dentists full to the brim, and parking places are already scarce. Wallingford needs this development like a hole in the head. Former County Councillor for Benson and Cholsey, Felix Bloomfield, now a member of Reform UK, added his serious concerns about the plans. He said there is rightly widespread opposition for the proposed development. The residents of Wallingford have already seen enormous housing estates mushroom around their town, with little or no new infrastructure such as doctors, surgeries or school places. The large new speculative development proposal on the outskirts of the town will see the concreting of further open agricultural countryside. Wallingford, like many towns and villages across Oxfordshire, has a serious issue with developers circling like vultures, and we need more robust local planning authorities. Crowdace Homes has been approached for comment.
New free drop-in bereavement support space to open. A new drop-in support space is opening to help people cope with grief. National healthcare and bereavement charity Sue Ryder will launch its first Grief Kind space in South Oxfordshire on December the 1st, offering a free, welcoming environment for anyone who needs to talk about their loss. The Wallingford site will be part of a nationwide network of community-based sessions, each led by trained volunteers. Carrie Connolly, Grief Kind Spaces Area Coordinator for South Oxfordshire, said, "Research shows that one in eight people, 13%, equating to as many as 427,000 people a year, do not receive enough support while grieving. We can't stop terminal illness, death and grief from happening, but we can stop people from facing them alone." The charity said the sessions provide a safe space to connect with others who understand what it means to lose someone. Mrs. Connolly said, "We're delighted that with the support of our dedicated volunteers, we're able to open our doors ahead of the festive season, a time that we know can be especially hard for people. We would encourage people to come along and give it a try. There's no pressure to attend every week, just a warm welcome whenever you do." The Grief Kind space will be held every Monday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Waterfront Cafe, Benson Waterfront, Wallingford. And the article is accompanied by a colour photograph of five of the people involved at the Sue Ryder Grief Kind space area.
This article is entitled "Death of More Than 1,000 Fish in Pond Sparks Investigation." There's a picture of a gentleman from an organisation whose acronym is WASP at the scene of the problem. An investigation has been launched after the death of more than 1,000 fish with fears of contamination of a county fishing pool. The Environment Agency has said that specialist officers are investigating the scene at Roke near Wallingford, while campaign group Windrush Against Sewage Pollution, WASP, which first became aware of the situation on Saturday, is conducting its own inquiries. While the fish were dying, nearby sewage works reportedly hit a problem, which is still ongoing. The sewage works is believed to be connected through waterways to the Roke Pond, although nothing has been proven to link the failed sewage works to the deaths. A spokesman for the Environment Agency said, "Specialist officers are investigating the deaths of at least 1,000 fish in a pond at Roke last week. Samples from the water have been taken. Work to find out what happened and why continues." Ash Smith of WASP said, "My understanding is that about 2 weeks ago, the fish began to die and in quite big numbers. The pond includes grass carp, perch, roach and bream, and it has been used as a fishing point for local anglers for many years. The sewage runs really close to the lake," said Mr. Smith. "There was a blockage and that happened at the same time. If that wasn't the problem, then it's a massive coincidence." In an update to locals on Sunday, November the 9th, the Berwick Salome Parish Council acknowledged the presence of road tankers in Roke Marsh, which is adjacent to Roke, during recent weeks. Neil Godfrey of the local drainage group said, "The reason the tankers have had to be deployed is that McAllister, who are contractors for Thames Water, hit a problem. While working on lining the section between the watercress beds or fishing pond and the Rope Marsh pumping station, the operation failed and caused a blockage. This blockage needed to be bypassed, hence the use of road tankers on a continuous basis since the blockage occurred. In late October, Thames Water said it was considering options to sort the problem and has now scheduled high pressure jetting. Though Mr. Smith said the scenes were already traumatic, he said it's quite possible more fish will die, especially if their gills are permanently damaged by pollution. The most recent comparable event he has seen is when more than 2,000 fish died in Swindon's River Ray after pollution, although he said it's rare to see such incidents in lakes or ponds like the one at Roke. He said the Environment Agency will have done some post-mortem examinations on the fish and we will do our own. Although potentially several weeks after any pollution event, he said there is still time to collect evidence, such as if the agency decided to conduct a fluorescein test.
People urged to use antibiotics more wisely. People are being urged to use antibiotics wisely amid a growing crisis. Antimicrobial resistance, AMR, is on the rise, turning once treatable infections into potentially life-threatening conditions. This is due to bacteria becoming resistant to medicines at an increasing rate. Whilst resistance is a natural occurrence over time, the misuse and overuse of antibiotics are accelerating the process. Antibiotics are used to treat or prevent some types of bacterial infection by killing bacteria or preventing their spread. However, they are ineffective against viral infections such as colds, flu, and most coughs. Many mild bacterial infections also resolve on their own without the need for antibiotics. In light of this, people are being urged to only use antibiotics when they are prescribed by a healthcare professional and always to complete the full course as directed. Antibiotics should never be saved for later use or shared with others. World AMR Awareness Week, which runs from November the 18th to the 24th, highlights the importance of this issue. The theme is Act Now, Protect Our Present, Secure Our Future. People can help fight antimicrobial resistance by taking part in the Antibiotic Amnesty, which encourages the disposal of unused antibiotics via community pharmacies. For more information on this, please visit the NHS website.
Second World War veteran Lucy shares her memories. 101-year-old Second World War veteran has shared her memories of her family's sacrifices, honouring the men and women who died in combat. Lucy Brown from Didcot experienced an early tragedy when her father died young after inhaling mustard gas during the First World War. She said his death in his 40s left a lasting mark on her and inspired her decision to sign up in 1939 as part of the British Army's Auxiliary Territorial Service as the Second World War erupted. 80 years after she left the ATS in 1945, Mrs. Brown wore her poppy with pride as the nation congregated to honour the sacrifices of men and women in combat on Remembrance Sunday. She said, "I was very young when my father bravely fought for his country, but I've always known the price he paid, and I've carried his example with me all my life. I was determined to make my own contribution, so I trained to be part of the ATS, where it was our job to support the army. I worked at Vauxhall Barracks in logistics and settled in Didcot after the war. Someone had to do it, and I have always felt a deep sense of duty, so I was proud to enlist. Mrs. Brown found love with her husband, Ron Derman, a Royal Engineer who served too. She believes it's vital to keep sharing stories like theirs with younger generations. She said, Ron was part of Operations Dynamo, the mission to evacuate soldiers from the beaches of Dunkirk. He and his regime took a perilous journey from Lille to Dunkirk, and he eventually made it home aboard an oil tanker. I think it's important to keep remembering what happened and what we all went through. You can tell people about it, but they can't really imagine what it was like. Nobody can take my memories away. Remembrance Day is for everyone who served and to honour their memories. This year, Oxford Manor Care Home's wellbeing coordinator, Kate Prince, laid wreaths at two remembrance services in Harwell and Didcot on behalf of Mrs. Brown and her fellow residents.
This article is entitled Award-winning Riverside Museum Listed for Sale. An award-winning Riverside Museum in Oxfordshire has been listed for sale for £3 million after trustees took the difficult decision to close it. The River and Rowing Museum in Henley shut to the public in September after a long-running struggle to reach financial stability and net losses averaging £1 million per year. Listed for the first time earlier this month, it has now been revealed the asking price for the huge architectural award-winning building is £3 million. Oxfordshire agent Richard Venables of commercial real estate services company CBRE described the Mill Meadows site as an award-winning building designed by the internationally renowned David Chipperfield Architects. The listing added, the design is inspired by local river boathouses and the traditional wooden barns of Oxfordshire, a simple and clear architectural idea that makes natural associations with the surrounding area. The museum building, which is more than 35,600 square feet, was opened by Queen Elizabeth II in 1998. Announcing its closure this summer, the River and Rowing Museum Foundation Trust said, the venture was just too ambitious. With a 35,000 object collection housed across six galleries. In October 2022, the multi-building complex, set in nearly an acre of land on the riverside in Henley, underwent a £1.1 million refurbishment over 9 months.
Bank branches safe from closure till 2030. Three bank branches in Oxfordshire will remain open until 2030, it has been confirmed. It comes as the company has announced that it will continue to keep every one of its 696 nationwide and Money Virgin branches open until at least 2030, despite many other banks closing theirs. The new commitment, which extends its existing branch promise by at least another 2 years, applies even when a Nationwide branch and a Virgin Money branch are close to each other. Nationwide's move comes as other banks continue their branch closure programmes, the largest in UK history. Earlier this week, the company published a list where Nationwide is the last branch in the town. The branches in Henley, Wallingford and Tame are included on that list. The company says branch closures have a disproportionate impact on vulnerable customers, including older people, many of whom rely on face-to-face services and support. It added that younger people rely on branches too, with more than 1 in 10 of Nationwide's new student accounts being opened in branches this academic year.
And this is from the announcements page, death notices. Elizabeth Bristow passed away on the 2nd of November 2025. She'll be fondly remembered and greatly missed by all her family, particularly Paul, Andrew, Oliver and Adam. The funeral will be held at St Leonard's Church, Wallingford, on Monday 1st of December at 11 a.m. Family flowers only, donations, if desired, to Asthma UK. Carol Jarvis passed away on 30th of October 2025. She will be fondly remembered and greatly missed by all her family, including her husband Les, sons Mark, Darren and Michael, and of course all her grandchildren. The funeral will be held at St Mary's Church, Wallingford, on Tuesday 25th of November at 11 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Alzheimer's, care of Chadwick's Funeral Service, 33 Benson Lane, Cromarsh, Gifford, OX10 8ED, or via caroljarvis.muchloved.com. Francis Stevens passed away on 19th of October, age 89. Beloved partner to John, a loving mother to Nicola and Martin, and a loving grandmother to Charlie. The funeral service is to be held at South Oxfordshire Crematorium on Thursday, 20th of November at 11 a.m. Inquiries, care of Chadwick's Funeral Service. Tony Taylor. Tony passed away at home on 30th of October, aged 82. Husband to Linda, a much-loved dad, brother, granddad, and friend to many. He will be greatly missed by all who knew and loved him. A celebration of his life will be held at St Helen's Church, Benson, on Monday 24th of November at 1:30 p.m. No flowers, please, but donations would be most welcome to Sue Ryder and Millstream Surgery.
This article is entitled, Thames Water Top Bosses Bonuses Blocked. The bonuses for top bosses at Thames Water have been blocked after issues including serious pollution incidents and performance problems. The South East Water Company is one of six in the UK to block the bonus payouts to their top bosses, as more than £4 million in potential bonuses were banned under new rules on performance-related pay, regulator Ofwat said. The powers were introduced in June as a result of concerns that the pay of water firms' top bosses was not reflecting their environmental performance. It means companies are required to block annual bonuses and other awards to directors where they do not comply with the watchdog's rules. These include pollution incidents, poor environmental practices and criminal convictions. The six companies, Anglian Water, Southern Water, Thames Water, United Utilities Water, Wessex Water and Yorkshire Water, blocked payouts for a variety of failures, mostly involving pollution. Ofwat said that a further £2.4 million of performance-related executive pay was not required to be blocked, but should not be funded by customers. Among the firms that triggered its rules, Thames Water had seven Category 1 pollution incidents, which are the most serious, recorded in 2024. It also breached its licence to hold a sufficient credit rating and had a one-star rating in relation to its environmental performance.
And now from the BBC News website, one, two or three new councils for Oxfordshire. Oxfordshire councils are voting through rival plans for local government reorganisation. The government aims to make a decision by next summer, with elections to the new council, or possibly councils, in May 2027. But what are the three proposals being put forward and how do they compare when it comes to costs and benefits to residents? The proposals have been put together after the government announced in December 2024 its intention to abolish Oxfordshire's current two-tier system of councils. The county's existing councils have not been able to agree on a way forward, meaning the three different proposals will be submitted to the government by its deadline of November the 28th. The choice the government makes will boil down to whether there should be one, two, or three unitary authorities covering Oxfordshire. One unitary council. Oxfordshire County Council is backing the idea of having one unitary authority. It estimates the initial setup cost will be £21.9 million, and the change would generate savings of more than £63 million a year. The next choice is two unitary councils. Five councils have backed plans for two unitary councils across Oxfordshire and West Berkshire. There would be one authority to the north, that's the Oxfordshire and Shires Council, covering Charwell, Oxford City and West Oxfordshire. The second authority would be further south, called the Ridgeway Council, and cover South Oxfordshire, Vale of Whitehorse and West Berkshire. The transition cost is estimated at £30.4 million, with savings anticipated to reach £59.8 million a year. The next choice is three unitary councils. A proposal for three councils is being put forward by Oxford City Council. It would include a Greater Oxford Council, which would extend the city's boundaries out into the Greenbelt. Similar to the two unitary option, it would also include a Northern Oxfordshire Council covering the rest of Charwell and West Oxfordshire. Plus, there would be a Southern Ridgeway Council, including West Berkshire. The transition cost is estimated at £36.2 million, and it is anticipated that savings would reach £48.5 million annually after 5 years of operation. So what happens next? Once the three proposals are submitted, the government says a consultation could be launched in early 2026. This is likely to last until the local elections in May 2026. Government ministers will then decide, subject to parliamentary approval, if any of the proposals will be implemented with or without modification. It says it will take into account representation and consultation responses, with a final decision announced before summer 2026. That would allow for elections to the new unitary authority, or authorities, in May 2027. The new structure would then go live in April 2028.
And this article is from the Herald Series website. It does repeat some of the details on the from the previous article, but it is more specific to our locality. Most councils in Oxfordshire and West Berkshire have backed a two unitary authority model as the best option for future local government. Five out of seven councils have formally supported the proposal, which aims to improve services, address inefficiencies, and save millions of pounds annually through a major structural overhaul. After considering three options, most councils agreed that the two unitary model offers the best outcomes for residents. The two unitary model is projected to deliver savings of £59.8 million per year, making it the most cost-effective of the options considered. Councils identified several key benefits, including improved services in areas like highways, social care and planning, as well as long-term financial stability. They also believe the model supports sustainable growth across both urban and rural areas. Concerns were raised about the alternative proposals. The single unitary model was criticised as too large and disconnected from communities, while the three unitary option was considered financially unsustainable and potentially damaging to Oxford and the surrounding Greenbelt. Of 158 councillors who voted across the supporting councils, 142 backed the two unitary model, with 9 against and 7 abstentions. The proposal will be submitted to the government before the 28th of November deadline, with consultation expected in spring 2026 and a final decision due later in the summer. If approved, the new councils would become fully operational in 2028. Residents can view the full proposal at www.twocouncils.org.
This article is from the Herald Series website, is entitled Energy Bills Likely to Drop by £22 from January in Short-Term Fall. Household energy bills are expected to drop very slightly in January, according to new forecasts. However, analysts at specialist consultancy Cornwall Insight said they expect the price cap to tick higher again from April. Experts have said energy regulator Ofgem's price cap is expected to dip by 1% when its next update takes effect, which would result in a £22 decrease to an average bill of £1,733 a year for a typical household from January. Craig Lowry, principal consultant at Cornwall Insight, said, "January's price cap dip might look like good news, but it's only part of the picture. Bills are still well above pre-crisis levels and are set to climb again in April, and, this time, it's not higher wholesale prices driving the rise. The predicted fall in the price cap in January has been linked to a slight drop in wholesale energy prices. The fall in the price cap would also come despite the expected introduction of the nuclear regulated asset base levy to help fund the next generation of new nuclear power stations, which is expected to add around £10 a year to bills. Cornwall Insight has suggested April's price cap is likely to rise by around £75 a year for an average household, based on its most recent estimates. Cornwall Insight said this rise in the price cap in April would be largely due to rising charges associated with the operation and maintenance of the country's energy networks, specifically electricity transmission and gas distribution charges.
And now some dates for your diary. Thursday, 20th of November, digital help drop-in, 10 a.m. till midday at Wallingford Library. Free, friendly one-to-one help with a knowledgeable volunteer. Free, but booking advised. Book by calling Wallingford Library on 01865 815 193. Friday, the 21st of November, Claymates Open Studio, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Open Studio, 84 Papist Way, Cholsey. Join artists Josie and Charlotte for Claymates, a joyful open studio celebrating landscape, friendship and creativity in clay and paint. Also on Friday, Jazz Diva Duo, 7:30 p.m. at Wallingford Corn Exchange. Rebecca Poole, Fleur Stevenson will perform a double divas event with the all-star band featuring Hugh Turner and Stu Henderson. On Saturday the 22nd of November, South Oxfordshire Choir at 7:30 p.m. at St Mary Lamour Church in Wallingford. South Oxfordshire Choir will perform Missa Sancti Nicolai. The second part of the concert will be a selection of beautiful Advent carols and songs of hope. Tickets available at the door on the night. The following week, Thursday the 27th of November, RAF Benson Charity Christmas Concert, 6:30 to 9 p.m. at Dorchester Abbey. Join the band of the RAF Regiment for an evening of festive music in support of the RAF Benevolent Fund. Free ticketing but pre-registration required from RAF Benson. Friday the 28th of November, Magus Christmas Artisan Market, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Coaching Barn, Little Stoke. The Christmas market is in aid of Magus Cancer Centre, Oxford. Entrance £5 per person on the door. Also on Friday, fundraising coffee morning, 10 a.m. to noon at Sotwell Hill House in Brightwell, Wallingford Volunteer Drivers, fundraising, coffee morning, promises a warm welcome to all. Donations on entry, please. Tuesday the 2nd of December, Tameside Singers Christmas Concert, 7:30 p.m. at the Baptist Church, Thames Street in Wallingford. A musical evening with the voices of the Tameside Singers, who have been rehearsing for several weeks to bring you their 2025 end-of-year repertoire. Donations are in aid of the Wallingford Talking Newspaper. Friday the 5th of December, Moving Music Concert at Dorchester Abbey. The concert offers people living with dementia or other life-limiting conditions, along with family, friends and carers, the opportunity to enjoy daytime concerts in a friendly, supportive atmosphere. Morning and afternoon concerts, guide price £5 per person.
And finally, this article is entitled Rare Paddington Bear 50 Pence Coin Selling for £10,000. A rare 50 pence coin is being sold on eBay for £10,000. The item is listed on the online marketplace for 20,000 times its face value and features Paddington Bear with Queen Elizabeth II on the back. The coin dates back to 2019. The description of this kind of item reads, "The 50 pence Paddington coin is a rare British coin featuring the beloved bear from Paddington Bear. This particular coin is highly sought after by collectors due to its limited availability and unique design. As part of the decimal coinage series, this 50 pence piece holds both numismatic and sentimental value for those who appreciate British culture and iconic characters like Paddington Bear. It is listed for £10,860,000 or the best offer, while delivering is priced at £8.35 for the coveted item. The item is located just over the Oxfordshire border in Reading."
And so we reach the end of another weekly recording of the Talking Newspaper. We hope you enjoyed our choice of news, and we hope that you also find the newly introduced dates for your diary useful. Even if it's not things you can or would attend, we thought you would like to know what's going on locally anyway. Until next week, from all of us, it's goodbye.